Hey everybody, welcome to the Life in the City podcast from Antioch Community Church here in Northeast Minneapolis. I hope you like this new intro. This music that you're hearing is from a guy named Zakar, aka Ryan Maurer, our worship director. He is a Spotify artist as well, so I encourage you to check him out, Zakar, Z-A-K-A-R. And enjoy the rest of his stuff. It's pretty awesome. And he's been gracious enough to let us use it here on the podcast. Today, we are having a conversation with Sydney Diaz. She is a Covenant member here at Antioch, and we just love her. But we are specifically talking about DNA groups, one of the ministries that we have here at Antioch. And if you don't know what DNA groups are, fantastic. You can keep listening and find out. But before we get into that, I just want to give you a heads up on one thing. You know, we say at Antioch that we desire to be a loving family, inviting all people into the life-changing way of Jesus Christ. And our hope is always that everything we do would reflect that, that it would be aiming towards that or an overflow of that mission. And we have something coming up that you may not think fits with that or is relevant, but it really is. On Sunday, November 20th, Covenant members of Antioch will have an opportunity to vote on the upcoming year's budget. Now, like I said, this doesn't maybe sound like the most fun thing ever, but our hope is that our budget as a church would reflect our values and our mission. So if you are a Covenant member, you should have received an email in the last couple of days that had the budget in it. And I would ask that you make sure you open that and look through it. The financial team has done a ton of work to get that ready and to get some things changed, to reflect better and to give you a little more information than maybe we've had in the past. And we want your feedback. The finance team wants your feedback for that budget. So if you have questions, please reach out to Joel Love, our treasurer, and make sure you mark your calendars for Sunday, November 20th, where we will have an opportunity to vote on that upcoming budget. So that's all I'll say about that for now. You can enjoy this conversation with Sydney Diaz. We're glad you're here. Well, hey, welcome back. It's been a few weeks.
Yeah, it's been a bit, a hot minute.
It has been a minute, and we've had a couple things go on since we've last met. But we are back. I'm Coley.
I'm Rachel.
And as mentioned, we have Sydney Diaz with us, who is a Covenant member here at Antioch. Say hi.
Hi. It's good to be here.
Thank you. I should mention, we also have a very, very special teeny tiny, our tiniest guest so far.
That's true.
Little Trula Diaz is also joining us for this podcast today.
Emphasis on little.
6.5 weeks old. Someday I'll have to tell her she was on her first podcast when she was 6.5 weeks old.
That's great.
By then she'll go, Mom, what's a podcast?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. It'll be something else that's new and cool.
Oh my gosh, you were on podcasts?
So outdated.
You're such a millennial.
Awesome. Well, Sydney, we know that many of our church members might see you up on stage with using your bass guitar from the worship team, but we want to know a little bit more about you. So let's talk about who you are first, and then we'll dive into some of the content about DNA groups that we wanted to talk about today. So first, tell us a little about yourself. What do you do for work? How do you fill your time? Tell us a little bit about your family.
Yeah. So my name's Sydney, as was mentioned already. My husband's name is Drew. I often, when I introduce the two of us, I say this is my husband Drew, and I'm not responsible for anything he says or does, because if you've met him, you know he has a personality of his own. We've been coming to Antioch, I guess it's been almost 4 years. I think I started coming January of 2019, so that would be almost 4 years. And then when Drew moved up to Minnesota before we got married, he started coming in like March or something like that. So we got married later that year, but we were coming to Antioch even before we were married. So yeah, it's been about 4 years. We are now a family of three as of 6.5 weeks ago when Trula was born. So that's been super fun. I am a teacher. I teach at a Christian Montessori school in Roseville. But I'm taking a break right now with Trula. And yeah, we'll see at what capacity I go back to teaching. Probably something part-time. And yeah, we've been involved at Antioch through community groups really since pretty soon after we started coming. Shout out to Rachel, because Rachel and Joel invited us to their community group. Like, I think we went, honestly, we'd been married for like 2 weeks or something. I think we went to community group for the first time. We were just like,
that's awesome.
Right back from our honeymoon, we moved to Minnesota and we're like, okay, we're going to community group.
I think you also joined our community group like the week after it had started.
I think
we launched
true, yeah.
a new community group. We had like one meeting and then you and Drew were like, we're joining too. And oh, you wow. just like came and yeah. you didn't. Well, you recently left, but we'll get to that later. But you stuck around for quite some time yeah. with us. Yeah.
It actually became a joke because the first week we came, you guys were like, this is crazy. Like, we have someone new coming. We just launched. And so I think between the three couples that launched the group, you guys kept saying like, but feel free to like check out other groups. Like, you don't have to be in our group. And then it became a joke that we're like, how many times are you going to tell us to feel free to check out another group?
Yeah. Drew might have felt like I didn't want him there. We just wanted to let you look for others if needed.
We didn't need to check out any other groups. We knew we wanted to be in yours.
Oh, I love it. You knew what you wanted.
Yeah.
You knew where you were supposed to be.
Yeah.
Until a minute ago.
Yeah, that's true.
What have you guys recently changed about community groups?
Yeah, so there was recently some community group multiplication, which we know is a good thing. I think we all kind of knew it was coming just because we were like filling up Joel and Rachel's house. And it was becoming, you know, your group is a little big when it's like you feel hesitant to invite new people on Sunday because you're like, they might be overwhelmed by how many people are there, or there just might not be enough chairs for new people. So
we're logistically getting around the room and like sharing like how right, we're all yeah. doing and praying for one another took a very long time. And we had babies crying to go to sleep while we were doing that. So
yeah, it was just becoming too big in a good way. And I think even Drew had said for a while, he's like, I think we're gonna have to like multiply at some point. I'm like, don't talk about it, we're not breaking up the family. So yeah, Nicholas and Katie, they launched a group out of the Loves group. And yeah, initially we weren't thinking about joining them, not because they're not wonderful, they really are. But I was just like, oh, there's just like too much transition in our lives, we're having a baby, like everything feels like it's changing already. Like, let's just keep community group the same. But then we met with them and they talked about like their vision and their mission behind wanting to lead a community group. And also, like, as I was talking to them, I realized that a lot of people in the Loves community group were in like periods of transition. So I was a little convicted, like, okay, maybe I should like try and like hear from God on this and not just be like, nope, too many things are changing. I reject the idea of leaving. So after we thought about it and prayed about it more, we decided to go with them. So it's been really cool. Great.
Yeah. And it's awesome because now there's two groups that have room for new people.
Yeah,
definitely.
And are, you know, I know, Rachel, you have said that your renewed group, the group that's left, I guess, is like, you have a chance to re-identify yourself.
Definitely.
And get to know each other again.
Yeah.
Because you're smaller.
Yeah. Vulnerability in a group of like 19 people, yeah. it can be hard sometimes. Yeah. But when you're back down to like 9 or 10 people, you can, you know, open up a little bit more and feel more comfortable sharing. And so that's been a beautiful blessing, I think, for both groups right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, definitely. And it's cool that like I still totally feel like, well, I feel like all of Antioch is family, but, you know, like community groups are like a closer.
For sure.
Just closer relationships. So I still feel so close to everyone in the Loves group. And then now it's like I'm meeting new people and getting to know them better in this new group. So, yeah, it's the multiplication really is beautiful, even if it's painful at the time.
Mm-hmm. Totally. That's awesome. Well, and that actually it kind of leads into our conversation about DNA groups, because one of the no matter what we do, no matter how much multiplying we do, community groups are still going to be too big for certain conversations mm-hmm. or for certain things. They're still going to be mixed company, men and women, kids. Like, they're still going to be usually between 10 and 15 people or so, 8 and 15 maybe. And so we have this other tool in our tool belt called DNA groups. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. So Sydney, talk a little bit about your DNA group. Do you want to talk about what it is first or just your experience?
Yeah. So I feel like you kind of like hinted at it already, but DNA groups are like, it's like a smaller, closer knit community, kind of under the banner of community groups. A lot of times I think DNA groups are members that are in a community group together who then start a smaller DNA group, and it's usually like all men or all women, and I think it's usually supposed to be like 3 to 4 people. Mm-hmm. Coley, I know you're in a bigger DNA group, right?
Yeah, mine's an anomaly. We accidentally got really big,
but that's like, in a way that's a good thing though, that so many people wanted to join. But yeah, our group is, it started as 3 and now it's 4. So yeah, we did start as like members from the Love community group. We just kind of like put it out there, anyone who is interested, and Rachel and Lindsay and I were all interested in being in a DNA group. And then I'd done that leadership training with you, so I volunteered to lead it, although I feel like I've put lead in like quotation marks there, because it's like, you know, we're like all doing DNA group together. Like the leader kind of maybe helps make sure like we're actually meeting, or like what chapter are we on, or like some logistical things, but I don't really feel like it's like I'm your leader. And yeah, it's not like that. It's just like a small group discussion.
Yeah. And I should say, so this DNA model is not ours originally. We didn't create it. It was designed by Saturate, this ministry out of Jeff Vanderstelt, mm-hmm. his church. And DNA stands for Discover, Nurture, Act. And you guys know this, but for our listeners, the goal in each time that the DNA group gets together is to get into the Word and discover what it has to say, to nurture one another's hearts. Mm-hmm. And that can involve, you know, talking about life, caring for one another, whatever that means, getting into each other's grill a little bit about mm-hmm. maybe where we're not living out the gospel mm-hmm. Like we know we ought to be. And then the A is for act. And so it's the question of, I don't just want to learn head knowledge from scripture, but how can I live it out today? Mm-hmm. How can I live it out this week? And so the Discover, Nurture, Act, you could also think of it as head, heart, and hands. Mm-hmm. Discover from the head, nurture the heart, mm-hmm. act out with your hands. And you are right that like every group needs a leader for like logistically, you need a leader. And mm-hmm. it's good to have someone who has like, you've had a little bit of training with it, and you've been doing kind of the basic questions and those kinds of things a little longer, so you can guide that discussion. Yeah. But the idea is not that there would be a leader with, you know, the peons that you're teaching in the group. It's that you are together gospeling one another, leading each other back to Jesus as it calls for. So it's fair, and I think it's actually even good that you don't feel like you're the know-it-all of the group.
Yeah, definitely not.
I feel like it is a communal, like, life-on-life discipleship. Mm-hmm. And one of the things, yes, we meet, our group meets every other Thursday typically, but having even, like, a texting thread with people in your DNA group where it's just a little closer knit of, like, everyday gospeling of each other, of how are we all doing, just checking in with one another, making sure we're all staying sane, right? Mm-hmm. But also sharing those prayer requests or just revealing more of our heart of how God's working in us. What are the frustration points in my day that I might need some truth spoken into?
Yeah.
Has been really good for my soul to have people that know me a little deeper, that push me to be a little more vulnerable when I might want to like just stay in my comfort zone and clam up and just go along my day. I have people that are going to check in with me. And so that's really helpful.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned the texting thread, because I feel like that has been really great on a number of fronts. Just one being like, personally, I am not someone who usually ends up feeling comfortable sending prayer requests in like a larger community group texting thread. And I don't know why that is. Like, I love that members of our community group will send prayer requests there, but like, just personally, I think I usually, if something pops into my head, I'm like, oh, it's like not a big enough deal to bother everybody with.
which is a lie anyway.
But it's just like that. Yep, that's where I'm at. But I know that like in a smaller text thread where we're all you know, sending prayer requests and stuff, it just feels easier. And also there are some prayer requests that like you might just feel more comfortable sharing with only women if you're woman, or only men if you're a man. And so I think that has been really helpful. And then Coley, this was something you shared as an idea that we have used in our DNA group, is just that like we love to chat with each other. Like, we are great friends and it's so fun to get together. But the problem is, like, if we get together, you know, for an hour and a half or 2 hours and we all want to chat about how we're doing, like, there goes the entire the entire time, and we're not like
evening
actually getting into the word or like looking at any of the discussion questions. So we pretty much, like, before we meet, we'll usually, I'll send out just a couple, like, questions, like, how are you doing? Like, what is God teaching you through motherhood? Or something like that. And then we kind of, like, each send a text to just sort of share where we're at. And I think that's been really helpful, because then we meet and we, like, have a touch point for how we're already doing. Or, like, there was one week where everyone was just, like, having a rough time. And I was just like, we're just going to change up what we're doing. We're not really going to do the discussion questions.
Which
we're going to,
like, loved.
Do something totally different. But we wouldn't have known that if it weren't for, like, sharing how we're doing.
Yeah. So. Right. It allowed, I think that week in particular was really, I think I had told you this, like, just really, I think, beneficial for my soul and restful for me in one sense, because you wanting to get a feel for how everybody was doing as we were walking in from our days almost ahead of time. And then we were able to kind of be repentant with one another and gospel one another and give each other truth that we just needed in that day.
Yeah.
And not that the book isn't good for that too, but it was what we needed in the moment. And that was really great. And I think that's where some small group things can, as we adapt and grow with one another, we learn each other's needs better. And that was a really beautiful time, I think.
Yeah, well, I just think the Holy Spirit, like, led that for sure. And that's the beauty of going off script sometimes.
Yeah, and the book is not... So the book we're talking about is... it's called Growing in Christ Together. We just call it the DNA book. It's a 16-week study. I think my group took most of a year to get through it, you know, because we meet every other week. And then, you know, yeah, life happens. But it's not designed to be like, here's the 16 weeks, don't go off book. You know, and after these 16 weeks, do the book again. Something. Like, it's meant to be a diving board, like a launch into, because what I appreciate is that it doesn't assume anything. And so you can start with people that maybe have never been in a group where they've had to be vulnerable before. And the book teaches you as a group how to share your story with God in mind, not just here's all the drama in my life or something, you know, but here's how God has worked in my life or is working or what I'm learning or whatever. But then also, like, it teaches you how to ask good questions of each other. It teaches you how to ask good questions of the Word. And there was a guy in DNA groups who I did not get permission to reference, so I won't say his name, but he said at one point that he just appreciated his DNA group because one of the guys especially was so good at asking him questions that got to the heart of the situations that he was talking about, and it made him realize places where he didn't even know he had maybe other emotions or other things going on or deeper issues or areas of unbelief that were more than just circumstantial. And then getting to deal with that. You know, I think it's easy for women especially to get together and just talk.
Yeah.
And it can feel like we connected, and we did. You know, maybe that's true. But I think in gospel relationships, we can connect and then go that extra step. That's what I think the book is really good at teaching, of how do you just go from, wow, I'm really sorry that's happening, or even can I pray for you, to okay, how does the Lord want to use this to make you more like himself right now? Or where are areas of unbelief? And when I say unbelief, it's not like, oh no, you're not saved anymore, but where am I living like Jesus isn't totally sovereign? Or in what way am I living like I'm supposed to be the creator of the universe? You know, I'm not living like the gospel is true. And I think sometimes I think I'm pretty self-aware until someone else asks me a good question. And I'm like, wow, I did not see that one coming. And I don't have an answer for you. I need to think about it.
Yeah, and I think the book gives us a good model for how to build those muscles for sure. It specifically does it in, well, I'll let Sydney explain this, but there's the four questions. If you've ever gone through DNA book, you will know the four questions.
Oh, yeah.
But it first uses it as a way to read the Bible together. And that's kind of the launching pad for DNA, is reading in the Word together and asking yourself four questions. So Trula has a lot to say about it as well.
Yeah, I think what you both were saying there is so good that, like, first, like, Coley talking about a group of women getting together. I know, like, the last time we met, we discussed the chapter on community, and we were, like, reflecting on Christian communities we've been a part of before, and it even brought a realization to me of, like, a community that I was a part of in college, where I was like, yeah, this is like we are each other's people. Like, this is so great. We're in Christian community together. But looking back on it, I see that, like, scripture was missing a lot of the time in that community. And it turned into sometimes more like we're really just, like, there for each other as we wallow in our self-pity. And so, like, just looking back on it, it's like, that's not what biblical Christian community is supposed to look like. Yes, we were all Christians, and yes, we were in community together, but sometimes, yeah, it turned into just, like, woe is me, life is hard. So I love that about DNA groups, that, like, there's the discover, and we're focusing on scripture. And, yeah, the four questions are very helpful with that. So the four questions are, who is God? What has God done? Who am I? And then how do I live? And I think those are really helpful because we are self-centered humans. And when we read scripture, it can be so easy to be like, what's my takeaway? How do I live? What should I do as a result of what I just read? And not that that's always bad, but, like, one, we need to, like, approach the Bible looking at the greater context, like, who was this written to originally? And two, it's all supposed to point back to who God is and what he's done. And so if we don't start with who God is and what he's done, then I think we end up with, like, really shallow takeaways, or we just end up, like, walking away like, I guess I should just, like, try to be a better Christian because I'm failing in this, but we're not, like, looking to God first. So yeah, those questions are really helpful.
I mean, there were some of us in our community group that, like, geeked out and were like, four questions, four things to look for. Let's get highlighters of four different colors.
And that is not me, by the way. That might be Rachel, but it's so not me.
Shout out to Lindsay Brooks as well.
Yes. This is why Rachel is our office manager, not either of us.
But one thing I noticed, and even, like, from a visual aspect of doing different colored highlighting, is, like, oh my goodness, there's so much when I was reading scripture that, you're right, I was so self-centered and focused on myself reading scripture that it was like, oh my goodness. I think one of the first passages we walked through was in Ephesians chapter 3. And just reading about all of the things that God is and God does, and then knowing that it's on our behalf, it was just, I remember walking away from nights being like, whew, there's a lot here that I need to just, like, sit in about who God is this week. And so it's refreshing. And I think even those four questions talking about the scriptures we're reading are also a nice diving board to bring into our relationships with one another. As we're talking about what's going on and what hurts in our weeks and what points of frustrations we have, we can almost use those questions of, okay, well, who is God? Well, you're talking about this frustration. What does that say about who God is? And what is he doing that you may not notice as you're walking through the situation? And then who does that say about who you are and what you can do then? I think it gives a great launching pad. And Coley, I know that ties in with something that you've taught through with many women, is something called Fruit to Root.
Yeah, and it's a tool from the same group of people.
I didn't know that.
Ministry.
That's cool.
Yeah. It's the same four questions. You just flip them around. What I love about looking at the four
questions.
That's
why they seem so familiar, because you had taught me about Fruit to Root, and then I was like, this feels really familiar.
Okay. That's so funny. I didn't know
they
were
connected. I didn't know they weren't.
We should link these resources in the show notes, too.
Yeah, we can do that. Well, and it occurs to me, like, maybe we need to do a part two of just this discussion where we do a mini training on Fruit to Root.
Oh, that would be really
so
cool.
Great.
It's tough to do when, you know, it's like maybe we'll have to say things like pause the podcast and
yeah,
be more of a like
point. A tutorial.
Yeah, but your podcast workshop.
The teaching you did on Fruit to Root was very helpful. Like, if you had a podcast episode about it, I would go back and reference it, because when I go to try and explain it to someone, I'm like, I know how it works in my head, but when I go to explain it, I have trouble. So yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah. Well, so with the four questions, starting with who is God, when we're looking at scripture, we're asking, and not every passage in scripture is going to answer all four of these,
yeah,
but they might be implied, or they're just good to look for, mm-hmm, because you're right. Our tendency will be to look for what does it say about me or my, mm-hmm, just me and Jesus or something. But sometimes that's not God's primary point.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm not the main character in this story. Yeah. But the looking for who is God, what has God done, or what is he doing? Who am I? What's my identity? And then in light of those questions, they all flow from one to the next. In light of that, how do I live? Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, what happens is as soon as we see a verb in scripture, like a command, or as soon as we get to that question of how should I live, we start shoulding on ourselves, mm-hmm, and it becomes guilt. And those first three, yeah, questions can so be so freeing and fun, yeah, and enjoyable and life-giving. And then we're like, oh my word, like God is sovereign and he knows me and he loves me and he's not stressed by what's happening around me, whether it's whatever. And I know that because of what he has done, most clearly through Jesus, but then also I can think of specific examples that fit with whatever. And in light of that, I know that I'm made in his image, and I'm valued, and I'm loved, and I'm cared for, and I'm not forgotten, and I'm not, you know, second rate or whatever. And then we get to how should I live, and all of a sudden it's so easy to shift into like, oh, okay, so I need to like be, yeah, like Jesus. Okay, quick, be like Jesus, you know, and like try to like muscle through it. And it's like, well, no. Keep with the spirit of the first three, yeah, questions.
The freedom that comes with the first
freedom,
three questions.
Yes. Yeah. And
we can't just choose to quote unquote level up in our Christianity, yes, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And so I think that's where we can help each other in these groups remember that, and remember that it's not, mm-hmm, a performance-based faith, and it's not a way to get approval from, mm, God, mm-hmm, but it's what we would just naturally do if we really believed, yeah, who God is and what he said, you know. And I mean, I think we all have relationships like this too, where we've been the person where needs the constant reminder that they are liked.
Yeah,
you know, like, mm-hmm, I've had friendships before where I'm like, do you not believe me that I like you? You know, or like you just keep apologizing for your presence.
I think I've been that person in a relationship before. Like, are you sure you still like me?
And they're like, what have I told you or done that makes you think otherwise?
My husband has said those exact words to me before.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, and there might be times when you're like, well, actually, this didn't feel real loving. But we love you, Drew. But like with Christ, like that's never the case.
Yeah.
And so we can remind each other of that truth, and that if I'm feeling disconnected or like I don't know what he's doing or where he is, I may not actually have an answer for what he's doing. I may not be able to say, like, because we don't want to land on platitudes of like, it'll all work out, so like just live in hope.
Yeah.
Because, mm, it's actually, no, that's not
like
where my hope is anyway.
Positivity kind,
yeah,
of thing.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I can live in the hope that God is making all things new.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, mm-hmm, I can still be at peace even if the world around me is not, or the circumstances around me, or my own heart is not.
Well, and just the, like, the freedom that comes from, like, really recognizing, like, who we are as, like, children of God and sons and daughters of God, and then reminding each other of that. I chaperoned a middle school retreat at Camp Chaminade.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, when I was like,
shout out,
8 months pregnant or something, I was like, hope I don't. Actually, I was like 9 months pregnant.
Yeah, you were
like,
very
hope
close
I don't have
to
a baby at Camp,
yeah,
Chaminade. But
wouldn't be the first time.
I didn't want it to be me. But one of the, so this was like for the middle schoolers, but I like got so much out of this. One of the staff members at my school, he does like theater, and he teaches theater at he teaches theater and apologetics at the school that I work at. Yeah. And he's done like some scripture memory where he will like memorize a whole chapter and then he will like perform it. He was like reciting, I don't remember the exact passage, but the story of the like the lost coin and the lost sheep and the prodigal son. And so he recited the whole thing and it was really powerful. And then at the end, we were like discussing things. And he pointed out something that I had just never thought of before, where the prodigal son, when he like has lost everything and he comes to his senses, he's like, why am I living like this? My father's servants are taken, like they are better off than I am. Like I should go back to my father and present this plan with him to essentially like get back into his good graces. And so he comes back to his father and he's like, he's ashamed of all the ways that he's messed up. And his father runs over to him and the prodigal son says, Father, I've sinned against you and against God. And he doesn't even get to his plan. Like his the next thing he's gonna say, he like rehearsed it earlier where he's like, you know, let me be one of your hired hands, like I will work for you, treat me like a servant, I want to be back in your house. He doesn't even get to his plan because his father interrupts him with like just this like gracious like receiving of his son, and he's like, put the best robe on him and the best ring on his finger and we're gonna celebrate, and like my son was lost and now he's found. And that just like when he pointed this out, I was like, yeah, how many times do we come to God ashamed and we're like, what can I do to like earn my way back into being his daughter? And it's like
that's, or really to make us feel better sometimes about what we've done. Yeah.
100%. And it's like, but you know, like we all have kids. Your kids don't have to do anything to be your child. Like they just are your child. Like they don't have to earn their way into being like, Now Dax is more a son of Coley than he was yesterday. It's like, what? No, that's not how that works. And yeah, I don't know. I think when we have scripture and we're reminding ourselves of like our identity, then it becomes so much less like a to-do list to check off. Like, what should I be doing to be a good child of God?
Mm-hmm. Totally. And reading that scripture in community gives you people that you remind each other of that identity too, which I think is so beautiful through DNA groups.
Yeah.
I would love to hear from you two, being in the same group. What was it like for you guys to... So the design of the book in the early chapters kind of throws you into the deep end pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Like, okay, figure out how to be vulnerable. Ready, go! You know, and it gives you guides and you know, things. But what was that process like for you guys with... maybe you've had experiences, you know, had close friendships before, I'm sure, and things, but with people that maybe you hadn't gone there with before, what was it like to kind of just do it, to be vulnerable, share, you know, yourselves in ways that you hadn't with those people?
Yeah, I mean, I would say, I don't know about you, Cindy, but we're still learning it, to be honest. I think there were ways in which at the beginning it was like, okay, we had been in community group, the three and now four of us.
Yeah, I didn't mention that before. Now we're a group of four. We started as three.
Yeah. And some of us had known each other for longer or shorter amounts of time. And so it was like, okay, we can be more vulnerable because there's a smaller group. Yay. And so some of that came at the beginning.
Yeah.
But I think just with time and experience and a learn to trust with one another and a validation of our identity with one another, it's definitely been a muscle we've had to exercise more.
Yeah.
And I think, I don't know about you, Cindy, but even the last few like DNA groups that we've met together, I have just walked away feeling like, oh, I know more about other people and I feel like they know me more and we are building more of an identity together. And it's been what, well, I guess I had Abigail pretty quick. So it's been what, 9 months since we've started the group? 9-10 months?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I think it's something we're still growing in. Like I know... For myself, I think it's something I'm still growing into. It's like, yeah, just going a little bit deeper, sharing a little bit more, like sometimes being willing to share, like, I feel like there's like sins you can share that it's like, yeah, I'm like struggling with this and it still stays a little surface level. And then there's
acceptable sins.
Yes. Yeah. And then there's like the deeper, like uglier parts of your heart that you're like, I really would rather nobody know that I like think that or like have like struggled with that. And if I didn't
say it, nobody would.
Nobody would know.
And I don't have to right now. You know, in theory.
Yeah.
Like, but there's like it's scary.
Yes.
And I think the enemy doesn't want us to.
Right, because as soon as there's like light on that, it doesn't feel as scary, like, because now people can like speak truth into it and you're like still loved despite sharing that. And so I think I would say the last couple of months it feels like we have been able to be more vulnerable with each other, but I'm hoping that we'll continue to grow in that. Yeah, we've been meeting for like 10 months, but each of us have had a baby in the last 10 months.
All four of you?
Four of us, yeah. So that being said, I think we're going to like, you know, take the group in a direction of like some, how does the gospel apply to motherhood, since that's like all real in our lives. But yeah, so it's been a little hard for us to always consistently meet when so many children have been born into the group.
Totally. Which you bring up a good point. I mean, I think we talked about before that often DNA groups are launched out of community groups. Mm-hmm. And so that can be
Not always, correct.
Yeah. So that can be a form of commonality. Now, it just so happens that the four of us all have had babies in the past year or so.
That wasn't really, like, planned.
No.
Although, actually, I will say, Rachel and Lindsay, my DNA group, I think you guys knew I was pregnant before just about anybody else. Maybe before I knew I was pregnant.
I remember one night of you walking in my house and telling Lindsay and I the ways in which you did not feel well. We both were like,
I've been asking you guys to pray for me that week because I didn't feel well. And I was like, 3 weeks pregnant or something. And you both were like, I wonder, could it be? Rachel actually gave me the pregnancy test that I went home and took. Like, this might be TMI for the podcast. But I love it. Anyway, I think I really derailed you there.
No, it's okay.
That's amazing.
But commonalities, right? Yeah. And so I think obviously people in DNA groups, we hope that baseline, we are all finding our identity as children of Christ, right? But also, it has an amazing way to bring out other common identities within us. Mm-hmm. So I hope people listening to this don't think they need to find a DNA group full of people that are in the same quote-unquote life stage as them, because it does not have to be that way at all.
Yeah, I just had a Zoom call. It wasn't Zoom, but I just had an online call with three guys last week who were interested in starting a DNA group, but they really wanted more, like, they were like, can you just like walk us through it, explain it, what is this? And the only like slight hesitancy from one person was because of life stages. They're like, you know, nothing against you two, the other two people, but like we're in different places and I'm just, would that be a problem? Will that keep me from being open, or will that keep you from knowing how to care for me, or, you know, vice versa? And it's a totally valid point.
Yeah.
And so there's kind of two ways to think about it. And I suggested both of these to them, that on one hand, you know, for the person who's kind of the odd man out of the circumstances, like, you don't necessarily know these guys' story. So you may find out that you have way more in common than it appears on the surface. They may actually have more experiential knowledge than you would guess, you know, because they might have more in common than you would think. On the flip side, that's a good point. Maybe consider a fourth person. And so they actually did. They've landed, I think they've invited a fourth guy, so that there'll be more diversity of experience and of life circumstances. And I'm keeping that all very general, just because I didn't ask if I could share that, but also because it doesn't matter. But it could be any sort of perception of like, ooh, I don't know if I would connect with them because they are X and I'm Y. You know, that is something to consider. That's okay to, you don't have to like start a DNA group with people that you don't get along with.
Right.
You know, but we never know how much commonality we have. Like in our group, when we started, we were six people. So we're like way too big. I'm breaking all of my own rules. I think it took us two nights just to get through all of our own testimonies, like through our stories. And I started, and it definitely was one of those moments of like, okay, I'm going to choose to like, quote unquote, go there with my story as a model, as an example, as the leader. I'm going to be the first one in with vulnerability, and I'll be the last one out, you know, hopefully. But so I kind of laid it all. I was like, hi, my name is Nicole. Nice to meet you all. Here's my story.
And they were like, wait, your name is Nicole?
What? Oh, yeah.
That's true.
I didn't even think about it when I said it.
I think it probably took me like 2+ years to realize that was like actually your name.
There's probably people listening now that are just learning it. But that's funny. But then after I went, the next person goes and they say, it's really interesting that you mentioned X, Y, and Z because mm-hmm. I wasn't going to, but let me fill in some gaps on my notes here that I had prepared, you know? And then the third person goes, okay, well, funny you two should say that because, and all three of us are in completely different life stages. I mean, not completely. I mean, we're all women in our 20s and 30s, but way, way, way more in common than we ever would have guessed. And then the freedom that came for some of these women to be able to bring things into the light, like for the first time ever. Mm-hmm. And then for us to not be shocked by it. Because I think the enemy really likes to get us to believe that our sin is unique, that it's worse than anybody else's, and
that people are going to react by, like, not wanting to be close to you
anymore. Yeah, and, like, see you differently.
Yeah.
But in truth, like, in the gospel, like, impatience is just as sinful as whatever the worst thing is that you could possibly imagine. And so that there might be different ramifications. But in Christ, we're all fallen. And in light of Christ, we're all broken, but we can all be redeemed. And so I think it's a level playing field in that way.
Can I circle back to something we talked about earlier?
Yeah.
I feel like this is going to feel like it doesn't connect. But back to the four questions just really quickly. So from working with kids, I was teaching 9 to 12-year-olds. And before I ever even read this book, I don't know who necessarily came up with this. It may have been Annie, who some of you may know now, here at Antioch.
Yeah, Annie Johnson.
Oh, she's the best. But we would do like a weekly verse discussion with the kids in our classroom. And so there would be like a verse for the week, and we would just like, everyone would read the verse. The kids could read the verse if they wanted. And then we would just ask them open-ended questions, like there's no right or wrong answer. We would ask them open-ended questions. And the three questions we would ask them are, what does this tell us about God? What does this tell us about ourselves? And then, like, how do we live as a result of that? And I kid you not, like, the things that 9 to 12-year-olds can come up with and see and discover from Scripture with those open-ended questions, like, I would walk away from the discussions being like, wow, like, my heart is so touched, or like, I have seen something new about God that I wouldn't have seen on my own. So when I picked up the book and read about the four questions, I was like, this is exactly what we're doing already, and it's so great. And then two, just like, if you're a parent out there who is thinking about discipling your children, I feel like with almost any age, you could use some version of these questions. But yeah, it worked especially well for 9 to 12-year-olds. They could get so much out of just one verse with these three questions. So I just wanted to point that out for any parents who might be listening.
We'll edit.
It reminds me of that quote by St. Augustine, where when he's talking about the scriptures, he says that the scriptures are shallow enough for kids to play in and deep enough for elephants to swim in or dive in. And it really is. That is a beautiful illustration of it. That even us as adults, when we ask ourselves those four questions when we're reading scriptures, yes, we'll see new things, but also allowing children to ask those same questions and getting those muscles practiced for them. It's a beautiful thing to see that no matter what your age, what your quote unquote spiritual maturity level, there's always things to be gained from reading scripture in that light.
Yeah, and not having to not that this is getting into, like, discipling kids, which also I have been a parent for all of 6.5 weeks. but
share your wisdom, Sydney.
Just, I love that from my years of teaching, I love that, like, you don't have to water down scripture for kids. Like, you don't have to be like, okay, let me sit down and explain this to you so that you can understand it as a kid. But, like, sometimes just letting them have access to the Word of God, the things that they can discover, and that He can speak to them. Like, the Holy Spirit is speaking to them. It's really cool to see.
Yeah,
that's awesome. Well, I know that the three of us could just talk for another...
Oh, all day.
All day.
Yeah.
But if you're still listening, awesome. But I want to leave you wanting more. So we currently have about 8 or 9 DNA groups here at Antioch, with a total of probably 30, 35 people in them. And my personal goal this next year, I'll just throw it out there, is to double that. And with, 150 or so people at Antioch that call Antioch home, I think that's totally doable. Mm-hmm. And what's great is that it is a commitment. Mm-hmm. It is a choice. You have to make plans around it.
Yeah.
You know.
And it's a time commitment too, with if you're already involved in community group and then you're choosing to be involved in DNA group, mm-hmm. worth it, but it is a commitment.
Right. And yeah, and it is a commitment, but it's worth it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, just to say the exact same thing in yes. the other direction. Yeah, to emphasize.
I'm reminded that there are people that commit to things like CrossFit, which seems crazy to me, but they find value in it, right? And somebody reminded me recently, like, time commitments, it just depends on what you value.
Yeah.
Because if somebody walked up to you and said, like, hey, do you want to go to this free CrossFit section later today? I'd say, no. But if they came up to me and they said, hey, would you like to go on a free trip to Jamaica next week? I would say, heck yes.
I will find that time.
Right? Because I might value relaxing on the beach more than I would sweating in a CrossFit class. Yeah. So I agree. Value is... If we see value in growing with other believers in the truth and knowledge of the scriptures, I think it's so worth it to have that time commitment. Yeah.
And sometimes, I mean, I think we all know this from like spiritual growth and the struggle. Sometimes the commitment comes before you see the value in something. True. Like, or maybe you see the value in it, like, there's like a head knowledge there, but you're like, but I don't really want to commit, or I don't like my heart doesn't want that. And I think that can be true of a lot of spiritual disciplines. But yeah, sometimes the commitment coming first, then later on you're like, yeah, this has been really, really good. There's a lot of value in this.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, if anybody listening wants to learn more about DNA groups or wants to talk to me about how you would get one started, I would love to do that. You can reach out to me or talk to me, you know, next time I see you in person. But I think we'll leave it there. And yeah, we should talk about doing a part two on Fruit to Root. We'll figure out.
That'd be fun.
Figure out when to record that. But until then, have a great week, everybody, and we will see you next time.